Welcome to the audio tutorial series by Rapid Learning Center. In this audio tutorial, we will discuss all about proteins. What will you learn? By viewing this tutorial, you will learn about protein structure, classification and nomenclature, the forces involved in protein folding, the functions of proteins, and how structure is involved with function. You will be introduced to the structure-function paradigm. In this tutorial, in some detail, we will talk about the nomenclature and classification of amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. The amino acids are connected by the peptide bond, so the chemistry of these bonds will be studied in some detail. Protein structure is dictated by the sequence of the amino acids and how they interact with their environment dictates how the protein will fold. The folding of a protein is the essential element of its function. This section of the tutorial will talk about amino acids, protein building blocks, the structure of amino acids, protein classification, protein handedness, and protein pKa. Amino acids play central roles both as building blocks of proteins and as intermediates in metabolism. The 20 amino acids that are found within proteins convey a wide array of chemical versatility. The precise amino acid content and the sequence of those amino acids of a specific protein is determined by the sequence of the bases in the gene that encodes that protein. The chemical properties of the amino acids of proteins determine the biological activity of the protein. As we learn about amino acids, it is important to keep in mind that one of the more important reasons to understand amino acid structure and properties is to be able to understand protein structure and properties. We will see that the vastly complex characteristics of even a small, relatively simple protein are a composite of the properties of the amino acids which comprise them. Of the 20 amino acids required for the proteins, the body only makes 12. The 8 other amino acids must be acquired through nutrition. Amino acids can be classified in many ways, vis-a-vis aliphatic, aromatic, or their charge, based on the side chain composition. Electrically charged side chains include histidine, arginine, and lysine with a positive charge, and glutamic acid and aspartic acid with a negative charge. Hydrophobic amino acids include alanine, isoleucine, methionine, tryptophan, valine, phenylalanine, and leucine. Hydrophilic amino acids include serine, asparagine, tyrosine, glutamine, and threonine. Proline is the only one of the amino acids with a secondary amine. It can disrupt protein folding secondary structures. Cysteine can make disulfide bridges with other cysteines. And glycine can take conformations sterically forbidden to other amino acids. Glycine is amphiphilic and can exist in many surroundings. Chirality review. An object that cannot be superimposed on its mirror image is chiral. A hand and a baseball mitt, these are chiral objects, while a ball and a baseball bat would not be chiral. Likewise, a chiral molecule cannot be superimposed on its mirror image. A chiral molecule will rotate polarized monochromatic light that is passed through it. This phenomenon is called optical activity. Amino acids are classified as essential or non-essential. The L form or liberatory amino acids are the ones that are utilized for protein synthesis. Some D forms may be converted into the L form. Others may have different functions such as D-phenylalanine, which enables increased endorphin production for chronic pain control. Other D forms, however, may actually interfere in the metabolism of the L form. There are 9 essential L-form amino acids that our body requires and must be obtained from food, since the body cannot make them. These are histidine, isoleucine, leucine, lysine, methionine, phenylalanine, threonine, tryptophan, and valine. Non-essential amino acids are just as important, but are categorized as non-essential since they can be made within the body. Amino acids in solution at neutral pH exist predominantly as dipolar ions, called Zwitter ions. In the dipolar form, the amino group is protonated and the carboxyl group is deprotonated. The ionization state of an amino acid varies with pH. In low pH, the amino group is protonated, NH3+, and the carboxyl group is not dissociated, COOH. As the pH is raised, the carboxylic acid is the first group to give up a proton, inasmuch as its pKa is near 2. The dipolar form persists until the pH approaches 9, when the protonated amino group loses a proton. At low pH, carboxyl and amino groups are protonated, having a +1 charge. At neutral pH, carboxyl is deprotonated and amino group is protonated, having a charge equal to 0, the isoelectric pH, or pI. At high pH, carboxyl and amino groups are deprotonated and the charge is equal to a -1. This segment of the tutorial will address the 3D structure and protein conformation, including interatomic forces and protein folding. The three-dimensional property of proteins is due to the amino acid sequence and its interaction with the environment. The environment that a protein may find itself in may be hydrophobic, hydrophilic, high salt. In order for a protein to be able to fold correctly in the environment it exists in, its structure has been optimized by specific amino acids. The non-covalent forces involved in protein folding individually are weak, however, taken together are a very strong force. The folding of a protein begins by the sequence of the protein. That's its primary structure. This is followed by the secondary structure forms, which include the alpha helix, beta strands, and random loops. The tertiary structure is the interaction of the secondary structure within one polypeptide. Finally, the quaternary structure is the interaction of more than one polypeptide chain, such as hemoglobin, which consists of 4 polypeptide chains. Protein folding, Chris Anfinsen, Nobel laureate. Christian Anfinsen published the paper Principles That Govern the Folding of Protein Chains in the journal Science in 1973. Most of the information for determining the three-dimensional structure of a protein is carried in its amino acid sequence. Christian Anfinsen was the first to publish the observation that the folded structure of a protein depended on its amino acid sequence, making a polypeptide. Every cell in the body is comprised of proteins made up of amino acids, and they are subject to deterioration and need of replacement. So protein synthesis is a constant process in the body. A polypeptide chain grows in a fashion such that a peptide bond is formed between 2 amino acids. Protein folding. The native shape of a protein is held in place by bonds, such as weak hydrogen bonds between amino acids that lie close to each other, strong ionic bonds between R groups with positive and negative charges, and disulfide bridges, strong covalent sulfur-sulfur bonds. A subunit of a more complex protein has been formed using these forces. It may be globular or fibrous. It will have a functional shape, also called conformation. Charged side chains in proteins can interact favorably with opposing charges of other side chains, resulting in an electrostatic attraction. The reverse may be true as well. The charged side chains may be both of the same charge, in which case there would be repulsion. Hydrogen bonds are individually not very strong, but the large number of hydrogen bonds possible within a protein and between that protein and its environment makes hydrogen bonding an important force in protein conformation. Molecules can attract each other at moderate distances and repel each other at close range. The attractive forces are collectively called van der Waals forces. Van der Waals forces are much weaker than chemical bonds, and random thermal motion around room temperature can usually overcome or disrupt them. The forces operate only when molecules pass very close to each other or during collision. There are 20 different amino acids. A protein of N residues will have 20 to the N possible sequences. A protein with 100 residues will have 20 to the 100th power possible combinations. These are combinations of the primary amino acid sequence. The primary sequence determines how a protein will fold, and the folding determines how the protein will function. Let's use hemoglobin as an example of how folding affects function. Hemoglobin molecule is made up of 4 subunits. Each of the subunits has a heme group. These are groups that contain iron. The heme group is responsible for binding oxygen, and each time another oxygen molecule is bound to one of the 4 heme groups, the molecule, the entire hemoglobin molecule, changes shape slightly. Mutation in any one of these binding pockets will affect its ability to bind oxygen and alter its conformation to enhance its binding. This is exactly what happens with the syndrome known as sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell anemia disease, one amino acid in each of the 2 beta chains of hemoglobin is changed. The amino acid in the 2 beta chain is glutamic acid. It's a negatively charged amino acid. That's the normal amino acid. In an individual having sickle cell anemia, the glutamic acid is changed to valine. Valine is a nonpolar hydrophobic amino acid. So, in the 2 beta chains, it goes from having a negatively charged amino acid to valine, which is nonpolar and hydrophobic. That one change makes that part of the hemoglobin want to bury itself instead of being exposed. It doesn't bind oxygen as well, and the round red blood cells, which are typical of hemoglobin, now become sickle-shaped. These sickle-shaped blood cells stick together and may block blood vessels, causing tissue and organ damage, and they don't carry oxygen as well. Quotation, Christian Amphenson, quote, "The native folded structure of a protein under optimal conditions is the most energetically stable conformation possible," end quote. Under normal, optimal conditions, a protein is folded in what is called the native state. The native state is energetically the most stable conformation. Proteins have what's called energy wells, which are various conformations that have low energy states. Depending on the environment that a protein finds itself in, it will change its shape to match the new environment because the energy well has been altered. Imagine a person on a lazy boy lounge chair. When upright, the person sitting in it has one position. When the environment changes, i.e., the lounger is tilted back, a person will adjust their position to the new environment. In a similar fashion, that is what happens to a protein, but rather than a lounge chair, they are pushed and supported by non-covalent interactions with the solvent, such as hydrogen bonding and hydrophobic forces and van der Waals forces. This next segment of the audio tutorial will talk about covalent bonds and protein structure, the nomenclature, the structure of the backbone and side chains, peptide bonds, and Ramachandran plots will be introduced. Side chain nomenclature. Side chains are also referred to as R groups. On amino acids are named using the Greek alphabet according to this scheme. The alpha carbon has already been introduced. It is the one with the carboxyl and amino group attached. The subsequent carbons are named relative to their position, that is, how far away they are from the alpha carbon. So the alpha carbon is alpha. The carbon immediately adjacent to it is beta. The next carbon is gamma. The next carbon would be delta. Now, if you have 2 carbons that are equal distance away from the alpha carbon, they are named, for instance, delta 1 and delta 2. The peptide backbone has polar groups capable of hydrogen bonding, the C double bond O and the NH groups. These must form hydrogen bonds to stabilize the alpha helix. This is achieved by forming such bonds with the same or adjacent polypeptide chains. The helix is right-handed, that is, it turns in the directions that the fingers of a right-hand curl when its thumb points in the direction that the helix rises. Hydrogen bonds between the carbon double-bonded oxygen and NH groups happen every 3.6 residues. Peptide bond formation is a condensation reaction. That means water is released, leading to the polymerization of amino acids into peptides and proteins. The amino terminal of amino acid 1 forms a peptide bond with the carboxyl terminal of amino acid 2. Each peptide unit can move in two ways. It can rotate around the alpha carbon, carbon prime bond, or around the nitrogen alpha carbon bond. Each peptide unit is a planar rigid group with known bond distances and bond angles. Each peptide unit has an alpha carbon and a C double bonded oxygen group and an NH group. The angle of rotation around the N alpha carbon is called phi, and that around the alpha carbon C prime bond is called psi. Ramachandran plots. Ramachandran realized that many combinations of motions around phi and theta were forbidden because of steric collisions between atoms. The allowed values can be visualized on a two-dimensional plot called a Ramachandran diagram. The diagram is broken up into four quadrants. Three of the four quadrants are excluded just on the basis of local steric clashes. Steric exclusion, two atoms cannot be in the same place at the same time, is used as an organizing principle. When a Ramachandran diagram is done for glycine alone, you will see that most of the quadrants are evenly occupied by the glycine. When all of the amino acids together, with the exception of glycine, are plotted, they are predominantly in one quadrant, somewhat in a second quadrant. Protein functions. This segment of the tutorial will introduce some of the functional classes of proteins, such as fibrous proteins, globular proteins, and enzymes. The characteristic of each class will be detailed. Collagen. It's a fibrous protein. Bones are made up of calcium held by a meshwork of collagen, which is elastic. Collagen is the most abundant protein in vertebrates. Collagen fibers make up portions of tendons, bones, and skin. Collagen has a triple alpha helix structure, making it tough yet flexible. Fibronin, fibrous protein. Fibrous proteins are long filamentous protein molecules that form one of the two main classes of protein, the other being globular protein. Fibrous proteins are only found in animals and are almost always water insoluble. Fibronin fiber makes up silk spun by spiders and worms and is extremely strong, stronger than steel at a pound for pound comparison. The soft flexibility comes from the beta structure of the proteins. Keratin is another fibrous protein. Keratin is insoluble. Keratin makes up hair, nails, and quills on feathers. The protein consists of alpha helices cross-linked by disulfide bonds. In very curly hair, the curls are attributed to the disulfide bond cross-linking between different parts of the hair. Membrane proteins. The cell membrane is a three-dimensional structure with a protein lipid bilayer. The lipids are present inside the bilayer and proteins are outside. A membrane protein is a protein that is associated with a membrane rather than found free in the cell. A membrane protein may be an integral membrane protein, in which case it is embedded within the cell membrane. A peripheral membrane protein is loosely associated to either the outside or the inside of the membrane. Membrane proteins have multiple domains. A membrane protein that is a transmembrane protein has portions of it that are outside the cell membrane, so it must like water. It must be hydrophilic. However, the segment of the protein that goes through the lipid bilayer must have hydrophobic components in order for it to interact with the lipids that are buried inside the lipid bilayer. Additionally, a membrane protein frequently has to have a pore through which water or aqueous environment passes through. So a membrane protein is very complex because it has multiple domains of hydrophobicity, hydrophilicity, and many different conformations. Membrane pores and receptors. Membrane pores are made up of unique protein structures. Membrane proteins have to have hydrophobic residues on the outside of that part of the protein that is inside the membrane. Lipid tails in a membrane bilayer are hydrophobic and lipid heads are hydrophilic. The protein hydrophobicity structure must match its environment. Beta barrels are proteins found only in the outer membranes of gram-negative bacteria. Cell wall of gram-positive bacteria and outer membranes of mitochondria and chloroplast. All beta barrel transmembrane proteins have the same up and down topology and similar folding mechanism. Alpha helical membrane proteins are in all types of biological membranes. Cell motility proteins. Myosin acts like a molecular motor, kind of like a ratchet. Chains of actin proteins interlaced within the myosin act as passive thin filaments that transmit the force generated by myosin to the ends of the muscles. Cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator, CFTR, is a transporter class protein and an ion channel that transports chloride ions across epithelial cell membranes. Mutations of the CFTR as a result of change in the DNA affect its function as a chloride ion channel. This can lead to the disease known as cystic fibrosis. Human chromosome 7 has the gene for CFTR. CFTR is a glycoprotein with 1480 amino acids. It has two transmembrane regions, each with six alpha helices connected to a cytoplasmic nucleotide binding fold. The carboxyl terminal of the protein is linked to the cell's cytoskeleton. CFTR is found in the epithelial cells of many organs, including the lung, liver, pancreas, digestive tract, reproductive tract, and the skin. The normal protein moves chloride ions out of the epithelial cell, covering mucus. This results in a net negative charge outside the cell and a positive charge inside from the sodium ions. A defective protein cannot function correctly, and the gradient between the inside and the outside of the cell is affected. This results ultimately in a buildup of mucus, and lungs and secretory ducts become blocked. Hormones, regulatory proteins. Metabolic pathways must be coordinated so that energy production, use, and synthesis of materials meet the cell's need. Regulatory proteins such as hormones and neurotransmitters help to coordinate these pathways. The system of regulation include intracellular, intercellular, and second messenger systems. Hormones or neurotransmitters can be thought of as signals and receptors as a signal detector. Communication between cells, intercellular, the ability to respond to extracellular signals, is essential for the survival and development of organisms. The signaling between cells provides a way for them to communicate over a long range in order to integrate the metabolism between cells. Hormones or neurotransmitters is a chemical signaling method that acts over the long range. Second messenger systems. Hormones or neurotransmitters can be thought of as signals and receptors as signal detectors. Many receptors signal recognition of a signal by starting a series of reactions that result in a specific intracellular response. These are named second messenger because they intervene between the original messenger, for instance, the neurotransmitter or hormone, and the ultimate effect on the cell. Enzymes act as biocatalysts by bringing reactants in close proximity and in an orientation that favors their reaction. The enzyme is not used up in the reaction, nor does it take part in the reaction other than to lower the activation energy for the reactants. Use of enzymes increases the rate of a reaction a great deal, in some instances as much as a millionfold, but typically it averages around a thousandfold increase in the rate of reaction. Note, structure of a protein is very important for its biological function. Review of protein functions. Alpha keratin forms hair, fingernails, parts of feathers, wool, claws, scales, horns, and hooves. Hemoglobin carries oxygen to every part of your body and is a globular protein. Actin and myosin enable muscular movement. Ion channels, proteins, control brain signaling by allowing small molecules in and out of nerve cells. Receptor proteins on the outside of cells transmit signals to partner proteins on the inside of the cells, second messengers. Enzymes in the mouth and stomach help digest food. Antibodies defend the body against pathogens. And finally, clusters of proteins form molecular machines to do things like copy DNA and make new proteins, such as ribosomes, which consist of many, many proteins working together. Tutorial summary. Protein structure depends on the amino acid sequence. The interactions of the amino acid sequence determines the protein folding. The side chain structures, the angles about the various atoms, determine the nature of the chemical interactions. A protein structure dictates its function. There are many classes of protein function. The structure of a protein is evolved to suit its function. Question review. Blank depends on the sequence of the amino acids. Primary structure. The primary structure depends on the sequence of the amino acids. The structure of a protein dictates its function. Blank bonds are important in protein folding. Non-covalent. Non-covalent bonds are important in protein folding. Two amino acids are linked together by a peptide bond. Two amino acids are linked together by a peptide bond. The significance of the R group on an amino acid is the R group conveys distinct chemical characteristics to the amino acid. Congratulations on completing the Rapid Learning audio tutorial on All About Proteins. For more audio and visual tutorials, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.